Growing up in an interior design studio gave Leslie many unique experiences within the interior design industry. At her colorful father's side, she learned the industry through osmosis. She was having so much fun listening to her dad interact with his clients and following him to the wholesale furniture markets in New York City that she didn't realize she'd absorbed a world of information. After she graduated from design school, she was more than ready to begin a career in the industry. Growing up in the interior design field is what sets Leslie apart. She loves what she does and comes by her profession naturally. Let Leslie Lovell take you through the interior design process for your home or office. You will instantly feel at ease with her great taste, elegance, and ability to make you feel comfortable. Leslie shops in her design studio filled with great catalogs and fabrics, as well as the wholesale to the trade markets in Las Vegas and Los Angeles. A Las Vegas resident for over 25 years. Call Leslie at 702-242-2395 or email Leslie A. Lovell, L-O-V-E-L-L, at gmail.com or visit her website, towncenterdesign.com. That's Town Center Interior Design in Las Vegas, 702-242-2395.
This is Leslie Lovell
and Eva Mango,
hosts of Home Sweet Home. Listen to our show Wednesday mornings at 11 o'clock Las Vegas time on KLAV Talk Radio. We'll be discussing interior design, fashion, cooking, your health, travel, outdoor living, and current events. We'll be hosting live guests from local Las Vegas businesses and entertainers.
It's not just coffee talk.
Leslie Lovell has been designing homes here in Las Vegas for many years. Leslie can design any style, from cowboy to contemporary. She has the vision to walk into a room and see it completed immediately as an artist looks at a blank canvas and instinctively knows the results. Call Leslie at 702-242-2395 Town Center Interior Design for a complimentary interior design consultation. That's Town Center Interior Design at 702-242-2395.
Views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
Welcome to Home Sweet Home, hosted by Leslie Lovell and Eva Mango, and sponsored by Town Center Interior Design. Visit them at towncenterdesign.com. For the next 60 minutes, we'll talk interior design, fashion, cooking, outdoor living, and so much more. Now, let's bring on the hosts. Here's Leslie Lovell and Eva Mango.
Well, good morning. You're at Home Sweet Home on KLAV Talk Radio, and I'm really happy to be here. I just got stuck behind a broken traffic signal and totally freaked out, but I made it in. Oh my gosh, cutting it to the last minute. Anyway, I have Andrea Chestnut with me today, and she's a very dear friend of mine, and also she is my gardener and landscaper extraordinaire, as well as many other things, but and cook, of course. You're a great cook, Andrea, so having you around. she makes these red velvet cupcakes that, I swear to God, that's going to be my last meal. The red velvet, right? Aren't they? Because I even wrote you something about that.
Oh, that's what everybody says.
It's going to be my last meal. It really is. I love those things. Anyway, you can make them for my birthday, by the way. That's coming up.
You got it.
Okay, good. We're going to talk about a lot of things today, but first I want to tell you a little bit about our show, and you might have heard the commercial before we started, but we talk a little bit about everything for your home, interior design, fashion, cooking, outdoor living, gardening, landscaping, some current events, what's happening in town. So a lot going on our show, and we like to kind of keep you as well informed as to what's going on out there in the design and fashion world, so that when you go shopping, you'll know, you'll be a smart shopper, and that's important to us. We also have, I also am working on a project called Small Business Saturday and gathering people together to meet maybe once a month to talk about how we can improve small business in Nevada, because we are still in a recession and we're trying to help each other get out of it. So if you have interest in that, give me a call or email me at lesliealovell@gmail.com. So Andrea has a report on organic wine today, and I asked her to do this because you know, everywhere you go, you see things that say, oh, this is organic, organic, organic. We really want to know, you know, what does that mean? And is it true for wine? So, Andrea, take the floor.
Well, the first thing I want to say is I am not a wine connoisseur, but I am a wine lover. I enjoy my wine. I enjoy sharing wines with friends. I enjoy experimenting with wines. And what I mean by experimenting with wines is I enjoy cooking with wines as well as drinking the wines. And if you can drink it, you can cook with it. So just remember that little rule of thumb. If you can drink it, you can cook with it. If you don't want to drink it and it doesn't taste good going down, it's not going to add anything of value to you, those dishes that you're putting together. So we're going to talk a little bit about organic wines today. Now, organic has become a word that gets thrown around a lot. And I do mean thrown around because anything that becomes popular with people, everyone wants to jump on the bandwagon. And organic is one of those things that has a wagon load of information out there, which, and labeling, yes, labeling, a lot of times, which is not necessarily totally completely organic, because we want to think of organic as being very pure, as being unaltered. However, organic can encompass a lot of things. When it comes to our wine, I was online, and yes, the information you get online is like anything else. You got to take it with a grain of salt. You got to sort through it, and you got to figure out what's real and what's not real, what's hype, what's just a sales pitch. But two very, I went to a particular website, and it's called yourpersonalchemist.com.
Hmm.
And it started breaking things down a little bit differently. You can get to it through a website called Our Daily Red, and that's OurDailyRed.com. Hmm. And that particular website is a group of people who make organic wines, and they're very, very open about what they have in their wines. A lot of conventional winemakers add a number of what are looked at as toxins to their wines. Now, how many of you out there enjoy a wonderful bottle of wine and you wake up the next day feeling like you ran into a tree or something? Mm. You know, it goes down real smooth, but boy, that after effect can get real rough the next day.
That's the toxins,
Andrea? That's oftentimes, that's the toxins. Ooh. Now, wine itself creates sulfites as an after product of the process of developing the wine itself. However, oftentimes they're added into the wines. Now, a lot of winemakers will tell you that they're necessary and they need to be there. The real strange thing about it is wine's been around a lot longer than bottled water has.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And these things we call enhancing aren't necessarily in the best interest of taste or value.
Really?
It adds to shelf life.
Oh, that's the whole story.
It's the whole story. It adds to the shelf life.
So are
they
really organic grapes, or are we just kidding ourselves?
There are organic grapes.
Okay.
And technically, if a wine is produced with an organic grape, it can be labeled organic.
Oh. But you can still add those...
You can still
add enhancers. Wow.
Yes.
Well, that's something I didn't know.
So buyer beware.
Wow.
It's the big topic. Buyer beware. Mm-hmm. Always, always buyer beware. In the conventional process, grapes arrive. In some cases, they may even be organic grapes. Then they're typically sprayed with a toxic solution of sulfite powder and water.
Hmm.
And when OSHA starts looking at, now OSHA is the standard of protection that is supposed to be used by workers in commercial settings and industrial settings. And OSHA requires everyone using this product to wear a full mask to protect themselves.
To protect themselves.
To protect themselves.
from
Nobody
grapes.
Said anything. The spraying of toxic solution called sulfite
powder. Well, that's lovely, and we're drinking
it. Yes, we are.
Lovely. Oh, where's our filter? The kidney or what? The liver?
That's it. Yes. As
oh
a matter
my
of
goodness.
Fact,
we're
our
in big
liver
trouble.
And our kidneys is our filter.
What's going to happen to Girls Night Out after this information?
I know. I'm really hating having to do
I'm
this
way screwed up now.
Yes. And you know that thing about cooking it out? Well, that doesn't work either.
Get out.
Yes.
It doesn't. Oh my goodness. I thought that's what.
So sulfites added to foods have been traced to the full range of food intolerance symptoms.
Great.
You know, a lot of us have started developing all kinds of reactions to the foods that we eat. I know a number of years ago, I so enjoy shellfish. And that's a whole nother conversation
it
for
is.
A whole nother time. But I found out by way of the emergency room at the hospital that I was allergic to shellfish.
And you didn't know it?
Didn't know it. And it came from a buildup in my system over time.
Of the toxins from
the toxins. And my body could not reject them.
That's weird.
So these sulfites that are added to our foods have been traced to a full range of food intolerance symptoms, according to the Food and Drug Administration, including headaches. How many of us complain of headaches these days?
A lot.
Now, here's something you see all over TV all the time. IBS, irritable bowel syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's not the prettiest subject to be talking about. However, it's become almost epidemic.
And academic.
Behavior disturbances. Now, oftentimes, behavior disturbances is looked at in children. Well, it also occurs in adults. Skin rashes, and not the least of which, their effects on asthmatics.
Oh, yeah.
Which can even be fatal.
That's bad.
So, if some of these symptoms are occurring, not to mention the hangover itself, which, unfortunately, some of us have experienced more than we'd like to brag about in our lifetime, it also disrupts the chemistry in the body.
Yeah.
And on this website, it even went as far as to say if the cells in the body could run from it, they would. But they can't get away from it. What it comes down to is chemicals are chemicals.
Yeah.
Good, bad, or indifferent, chemicals are chemicals.
Nasty.
They are. So when you are looking for an organic wine, take the time to really look beyond the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Now, places like Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, just to name a few places, they carry a line of organic wines. However, it is not their responsibility to totally police everything they put on their shelves.
Exactly.
They have to go by what they're told oftentimes. So go online and check it out for yourself. Do enjoy your wine.
Yeah.
We've been enjoying our wine for years, and we will probably continue to do so. And do not fool yourself into believing that just because it has alcohol content, that it's okay.
Yeah, the alcohol kills everything, right?
Yeah, alcohol doesn't kill everything.
Well, that myth is blown right out of the water.
Yes, it is.
Well, you know, it's good to know these things because they're so pushed and they're so talked about out there in our society. Like, oh, you have to buy organic wine and you can't buy the regular wine. And I hear it all the time. But, you know, now that we know that there are enhancers added to those wines as well, maybe there's not much of a difference, except that the little grapes were grown organically. So maybe that's not enough to make you want to buy a bottle of organic wine, but it's the difference, I guess, right, between a regular grape and an organic grape.
And oftentimes it's misleading as well that organics are more expensive. They're not necessarily.
No, they're not
in
a lot of cases.
They can be, but they're not necessarily.
Right.
And once again, going back to buyer beware.
Right. Just read stuff. Read everything.
Read.
I know. I do. I try really hard. I've been a really good shopper at Sunflower and Trader Joe's. And I don't go to Whole Foods too much, but I go to Sunflower and Trader Joe's because I like their prices a little bit better. But I usually look for things that say organic. And I found out that there's a difference between natural and organic.
Yes, there is.
Natural doesn't mean organic, if people don't know it out there.
I've read
a lot about that. So be careful. If you're really looking for organic, don't buy something that says natural on it. Because that doesn't work either.
No, it doesn't.
So it's so much out there to know.
Yeah,
really
natural
is.
Means that it was done by somebody's feet. Organic means that it was probably done by somebody's machine.
You know, yeah, a lot of times, I know.
All joking aside, they mean two different things entirely.
Yeah, I know. It's strange, isn't it? There's so much to look out for. You remember years ago, our families used to go to the supermarket or the corner grocer. None of these were issues. You know, they give me a pound of ground round, give me, you know, three chicken breasts, give me, who asked all these questions? Nobody heard of organic or, you know, any of these things. So I know my mother for sure, she had no clue when she was shopping. She just bought, she needed potatoes, she bought a 5 pound bag of potatoes, she bought, and it wasn't even out there to buy. I mean, nobody advertised it and said, oh, these are organically grown on a farm and, you know, we don't use any pesticides and... Who would know what that meant back in the day?
Well, and people grew a lot of their own food.
They did.
It just didn't come up a lot. You know, a lot of the chemicals that started being introduced into our food supply started after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the
synthetics,
cleaning chemicals that we use. Up until that point, we used a lot of natural and organic products to even clean with.
Yeah, we didn't even know they were natural or organic, though, at the time.
No, white vinegar is an excellent, excellent product.
Does a lot of things, yeah.
It can help clean our food.
I know.
You know, going back with
your vegetables, with water and vinegar, you can wash your vegetables. I know, but someone just told me that. I guess it wasn't you, but someone did tell me that. I think it might have been my cousin, Marion, that told me that. It's interesting. But anyway, so thank you for that report, Andrea, on organic wine. I will definitely read my labels better from now on because that means a lot to look at your label, right? We are coming up in our show today. I did an interview with my dad a couple of days ago. And the reason I pre-recorded my dad is because he used to swear like a sailor. And he doesn't anymore, but I was scared.
Not your poor sweet dad.
Not my poor sweet dad. And if he's listening, he's going to laugh his butt off. But my dad could, you know, could say stuff and just off the wall come out with something. And I said, Dad, it's going to be on the radio. You have to be careful what you say. He said, oh, I promise I won't say anything. And he did a 24-minute interview. And he didn't say one curse word. I was so proud of him. So, Dad, if you're out there listening, yay! I'm so proud of you.
We are all proud of
you. I know.
You.
I knew you could do it. I knew it. I knew it. Anyways. So, we have a couple other things I wanted to ask Andrea about today. One was, you know, I've been buying the herbs in the plastic containers. Like, if you can't find the fresh bunch, like a fresh bunch of parsley or whatever. So, the other day, I bought mint in a package, and I also bought basil because I couldn't find any fresh basil, and the basil went bad really fast even though I kept it in the refrigerator. So my question is, if I buy real herb plants to put in my house so that when I want to use some for a recipe, I just break it off, how does that work? I mean, if you broke all of it off and now you just have a bunch of sticks sitting in the pot, I mean, what happens? Tell me the whole process.
Oh my dear friend, so much to learn, the plant slayer.
Plant slayer, that's good. Really,
the best thing to do is in the springtime is to plan ahead. Look at the herbs that you use the most, that you enjoy the most.
Okay.
Basil is definitely one that I use a lot of in the summertime. I use it year-round, but I use an especially large amount of it in the summertime. And it's best to buy the plants and put them in pots outside.
I know.
Put them in clay pots. Mm-hmm. Because clay pots allow them to breathe, and they like to breathe. They don't have to have fancy soil. Here in the valley, they are better with morning sun, and they will produce throughout the entire season. As a matter of fact, my basil plant is at the point I'm giving basil away.
Give me some.
Well,
I want
come
some.
Get it.
I want some.
Come get it.
I love it.
It's better to grow it that way because inside it's not, unless you have a really good, well-lit window to put it in, mm-hmm. or you the idea is the pots that you're buying it in are where the nursery sprout the plants. They're not designed to keep the plant growing there. And so just going and buying the clay pots, which is what they love because it allows them to breathe. Mm-hmm. It allows them to not get wet roots, which right. a lot of times people look at herbs as needing a lot of water. They just need a consistent amount of water.
So if they're in full morning sun, is that bad? Or how?
Mine are in full morning sun.
They are?
However, by about 11 o'clock in the day, they're shaded. It's the heavy, heavy afternoon sun that they right. just don't do well in.
So if you're pulling off and pulling off and pulling, does it just keep
It keeps growing. Reproducing. As a matter of fact, they are designed by nature. They like to be pruned. And if you can look at removing the leaves, like from a basil plant or whatever, as a form of pruning, yes, and it sends out to a message to the plant to reproduce.
Okay. So do you have to make the pots bigger and bigger and bigger as you go? Or
no, it'll get as big as your pot allows it to get.
Is that like a mistake leaving it in a smaller pot or what?
It's a mistake leaving it in a smaller pot.
It is?
It will die.
Okay.
And here in the valley, there are certain herbs that will come back if they're planted in the ground. They'll die back during the winter.
Right.
It's best not to plant them in the ground because herbs, by their growing nature, will take over.
Oh.
Things like the mint family and right. the spearmint family, right. they will take over. Rosemary will take over. We see rosemary
everywhere
here in the valley.
Smells great, though.
Smells wonderful, yeah. wonderful, wonderful. But the herbs that you're going to be using at your dinner table, put them in pots.
Okay.
Group them together.
Okay.
Water them. Give them light.
Okay.
I don't tend to fertilize mine.
Okay.
Because I just, if you're going to fertilize them for any reason, give them, once again, an organic product. Plant them in decent soil to begin with.
Okay. Well, what about the winter?
They're going to die back.
They are?
They're going to die back.
Okay.
There are things that are meant to, we have become so accustomed to seeing blueberries year-round, strawberries year-round, that we assume that these plants are there year-round. They're seasonal. They're meant to be enjoyed within the season.
Okay.
And enjoy them for when they are. Some will come back in the spring, and others you will just simply have to replace in the spring.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Just so I know, because I'm getting tired of buying those plastic things, and it doesn't really last anyway.
Too. They don't last, and they're very expensive.
You know what I did once? Is this wrong? I got like this really big bunch of parsley, right? And I only could use so much, and I had a whole big jar of the, you know, the ground or whatever you call it. So, P.S., I put it in a glass of water in the fridge with the roots in there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like
that helps? It doesn't keep it that well, but it helps.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll do that for something I want to use right away, right?
Yes.
Okay.
For something you want to use right away.
Okay.
Because herbs are only as their flavor is only going to be as good as the freshness that they
like anything else.
Have. Exactly.
Like anything else. All right, Andrea, those are two really good subjects. I mean, I now know what to do with fresh herbs, and I'm really happy that I asked you about that on the phone yesterday, and I said, come on the show and talk about it. So anyway, we're going to go out for a few minutes, and we're going to have that interview with my dad, Peter Blumetti, who has been a designer for 62 years, an interior designer. So I'm going to say bye for a few minutes with Andrea. We'll be back, and you're listening to Home Sweet Home, KLAV Talk Radio. I'm your host, Leslie Lovell, and co-hosting with me today is Andrea Chestnut. Thanks, and we'll see you in a few. Okay, so I'm sitting here with, I'm doing an interview with my dad, Pete Blumetti, and he's responsible for all the wonderful education I have in the interior design business. Not only did I go to school in New York City, and he took me around to pick the school that I went to, but He also trained me while I was going to school and after school. So welcome, Dad. His name is Pete Blumetti. Hi.
Hi.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Good. So my dad's been a designer for over 50 years, and we won't say how many. It's blah, blah, blah years, right? Because that's just way too many to talk about.
Yeah, right.
But we're just talking like we are in our living room all the time. And, Dad, I just, you know, I want to thank you for all the years that you were patient with me while I was learning this business, because I had more questions than Carter has pills, like you say. I always had a question, Dad, what should I do? What should I do? How do I do it?
The only way you learn.
Yeah, and it's really the only way you learn. And I always say that hands-on, you know, when you're learning,
yes,
like
very much
you
so.
Had, right, Dad? I mean, when you are in the business and you're following someone around who really knows what they're doing, oh, my gosh, it's like night and day.
Yeah, definitely.
So when I was following you around when I was a little kid, I didn't realize what I was learning, but I was kind of like a little sponge, and I was mm-hmm. listening to every relationship you had with your clients and everything you did. And
well,
it was,
you've proven that it's helped you a great deal, because you've been very successful
yeah.
in the decorating field.
Thank you. So. And fashion, too, because you were kind of like the Blackwell of North Bergen,
oh,
New
yes,
Jersey.
Oh, yes, definitely. I still am.
I know. You had opinions on everything, but that was kind of cool. Sometimes it was a little crazy, but...
Well, sometimes people get my... when I say something, you know, that they think, oh, you know, he's this, that, the other thing. But I once told a lady one day that she was a little kooky. And I knew her, and she moved into our park. And I said, oh, your hair doesn't look so well today. And she looked at me. She says, I don't think I like you.
Oh, my gosh.
So she came in the next day, and she had a hairdo, you know. And I said, gee, Mary, you look great. What do you mean by that? I says, you look nice. But my thoughts were, I was complimenting her because I thought she looked good, and I sort of made her feel bad in a way which I shouldn't have, but I didn't want people to laugh at her, you know.
Yeah, you wanted her to look great.
Yeah, because
the
next day
thought.
She looked fine, and she said, why did you ask me that?
I know.
I don't mean anything by it. I said, that's the way it is.
Well, you know, those makeover shows are really interesting. I always love those because, you know, they pick a person in the street, and they, you know, they always go, oh, let's, you know, why do you want a makeover? Well, because I'm really tired of my look. And they do it for men, too, which is great, I mm-hmm. think. I mean, a lot of people don't know how to dress. They don't know how to buy clothing that looks really
oh,
good
please,
on them.
Oh, please, don't get me started on that.
Or hairdos.
I could go on for hours.
Yeah, because it's really sad that they just don't have the training. I mean, if you're a business person in another field, mm-hmm. the last thing on your mind is how your hair is looking, or your, you know, you might want to dress nicely, but you don't really know how to put it together.
Well, when I was teaching interior design back in Jersey and here out in Las Vegas, I always told my students, I said, before you go out, you should always look in the mirror. And if you don't think you look well, go back and do something about it.
Right, exactly. Appearance to me, we're not even talking about interior design right now, which we'll get to, but
right.
I think appearance is really important. And I think that when you're a professional and you go out in the business world, you have to present yourself like a professional. Otherwise, people don't take you seriously. And today, right. What scares me, I'm not downing it, but what scares me about young people today is that they have tattoos and piercings all over, and I really don't know where they're going to work. Because in the business world, it's really hard. Well, maybe not, but it's really hard. Unless you're your own company owner, like you're an artist and you have an art gallery, or you're, you know, something, an auto mechanic, and it doesn't matter if you have 20 tattoos on your arms,
right.
you know. But in the real world, people don't want to see that, especially in banking and being a lawyer or a doctor or, you know, a scientist, or even in Marfield. I mean,
you
have to go out there every day and look presentable. Now, if you have a little tattoo on your ankle or somewhere where we can't see it, we don't care,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, geez, can you imagine if President Obama had a bunch of tats on him? I mean, that would look pretty bad. I'd be a little scared. I know he sings Al Green and, you know, but an earring and some tats wouldn't be too good. But, you know, it's really scary. But back to interior design. So tell me, you know, from the very beginning, because I'm your daughter and I've been around you for a long time. I'll say blah, blah, blah years, okay? What got you interested as a kid in interior design when nobody was really doing that?
Well, when I was about, when Grandma remarried, we had a lovely home.
Mm-hmm.
And we had bay windows. And I told her one day, I said, Mom, I says, some draperies, you know, just plain material. And I draped it through. We had what they called donut holes in those days.
Like rings, right?
Rings, but they called them donut holes. And I just draped them, and that was one of the starts. And if I put curtains on a window, I'd fix the tie backs or whatnot. I decorated about 4,000 trees in my time. My aunts would call me, and this one would call me, that one called me. And then when I was working with Patrice, we did a lot of trees, and we did a lot of different ideas. And when I was in high school, my counselor said to me, "What do you want to be?" I said, "An interior designer."
Wow.
And when I started in interior design, ordinary people didn't know what it was.
No.
They had no idea.
But at the time, there really were some famous designers like Dorothy Draper.
No.
But she was like more like a hotel, yeah, and big, you know, big
right,
residence,
right,
kind of like fancy schmancy, you know, designer.
And then when I got started in design school, to be perfectly truthful with you, I wasn't a good student in grammar school, high school. The subjects bored me.
Really?
And the only thing I liked was history, English literature, and art.
Yeah, art.
And I did a lot of artwork in school. You know?
Right.
And when I got to design school, well, I blossomed out because that was everything that I liked. And I just took a fascination to it.
Yes.
And I thought I did well in it.
Well, you know, they always say let a kid do something they love and they'll,
yes,
be great at it. And I really believe that, too. I think if you really love something a lot, like music or art, or you should really let your child be fruitful in that area and just go for it, you know. And
I have a little story to tell about design school when I was going.
Uh-huh.
We had an excursion to Morvenine someplace in South Jersey. With the place was Morvenine, Governor's Mansion.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And my dad was the driver of the bus. And we went into this restaurant. One of our instructors fell and she broke her kneecap.
Oh my God.
And my dad had to take it to the hospital.
Really?
And he's got a 47-passenger bus in this little dopey teacher that we had. She's trying to tell him how to drive the bus, and he says, "Look, lady, who the devil's driving this bus, me or you?" From then on, she took a dislike to me no matter what I did.
Oh, and she was one of your instructors?
Yeah.
That wasn't
She was the
good.
Main one.
That wasn't good.
And when I have to say this, when I got out of school, I was one of the first ones that got a design job. So they made invitations, and they put a big build-up, and I sent her one precisely.
Oh, you did? just to show off. Yeah, that's funny. Well, you know, you have a really big history in interior design. I mean, you saw it come from practically like a really not so huge industry like it is today.
Oh, God,
I mean, it was really small. Now it's a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Yes,
it's huge.
Great.
But when you started, it was pretty small.
Yeah.
Right? Pretty limited.
Yeah.
I mean, the design has changed over the years. I know when we go to the world market now to see wholesale products, you know, when all the factories introduce their products, oh my goodness, it's like fabulous. I mean, there's so much out there.
Tremendous.
I know we're always shocked.
We didn't have half of that. I mean,
no.
So we worked with what we had. And,
yeah.
I worked for a very, very good company in New York called Peck and Hills.
Right.
They were on 3rd Avenue and 34th Street, and I worked there for 5 years.
And, Dad, you also did window dressing as part of your career also, right?
Yeah.
And you did gorgeous windows.
Yeah.
Back in the day, window dressing, you know, you always heard, like, Macy's store windows were so famous. But back in the day, window dressing was really important because we didn't have so much television and all those things. So
right. People
would go for entertainment to see windows on a busy Main Street USA.
Well, the
crazy
company that I worked for, we had three large windows. One was bedroom, one was living room, one was dining room.
Right.
And I did every room to the hilt.
Wow.
And I had people come to me, "When are you changing the window? When are you changing the window?"
They wanted to see
and
the newest
And I changed
stuff.
It every 2 weeks. You
sure.
know? And if I was late, how come you didn't change the window? And they'd come in and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And we got to the point where everything I put in the window, I had it all priced out. And they'd say, "How much is the entire window?" And lots of times we sold the entire window.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, those were the days when really, when you showed something completed,
right,
people really appreciated it. Yeah.
And I remember one time, we only sold modern furniture then, and that was in the early 50s. And we had one store on a place called Bergen Line Avenue in
Main
West
Street
York.
USA, kind of. Yeah.
And then we had another store on the Boulevard.
Oh.
And that had traditional furniture. So I said to my boss, I would like to do a window mixing the Oriental with the, he said.
Eclectic, right?
Yeah. So I went out and I bought a mural and an Oriental mural, and I did the window, and everybody went crazy.
Gorgeous, huh?
And then he said, I was only working there about 2 months, and he says, that's your job. You do the windows. So they never butted in with anything I wanted to do.
Well, remember later on in life when you were with me, I was dressing windows part-time.
Yes.
Designer full-time, and then both of us part-time did windows for clothing stores in the Meadows Mall. We really worked hard. But it was kind of fun doing the mannequins and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we always had a theme. I've
loved decorating ever since I started, and I still like it.
Yeah, I know.
I know many times I help you out, you know.
Yes, it's joyful. It's a joyful business, and you do meet a lot of interesting people.
I've met some very, very interesting people, some nice people. I will say that when you and I work together, customers become our friends.
That's right.
More or less.
Some of our best friends are our customers to this day. We spend holidays with them. They started out being our customers. Oh, my gosh. Harriet and Bob. I'll just mention some. But they have been our friends for over 12 years. And how we started with them is we've done two homes for them.
Right.
One complete home in Summerlin and then another home. So we've really had a lot of fun with them over the years. And it's nice to have that trust factor.
Definitely.
You know, going with a client. Yeah. Well, I'd like to take a little break with you. You know, let's go to commercial and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so this is Leslie Lovell and I'm here with my dad, Peter Blumetti, and we're on KLAV Talk Radio and we'll be right back.
Leslie Lovell has been designing homes here in Las Vegas for many years. Leslie can design any style, from cowboy to contemporary. She has the vision to walk into a room and see it completed immediately as an artist looks at a blank canvas and instinctively knows the results. Call Leslie at 702-242-2395 Town Center Interior Design for a complimentary interior design consultation. That's Town Center Interior Design at 702-242-2395.
This is Leslie Lovell
and Eva Mango,
hosts of Home Sweet Home. Listen to our show Wednesday mornings at 11 o'clock Las Vegas time on KLAV Talk Radio. We'll be discussing interior design, fashion, cooking, your health, travel, outdoor living, and current events. We'll be hosting live guests from local Las Vegas businesses and entertainers. It's not just coffee talk.
Growing up in an interior design studio gave Leslie many unique experiences within the interior design industry. At her colorful father's side, she learned the industry through osmosis. She was having so much fun listening to her dad interact with his clients and following him to the wholesale furniture markets in New York City that she didn't realize she'd absorbed a world of information. After she graduated from design school, she was more than ready to begin a career in the industry. Growing up in the interior design field is what sets Leslie apart. She loves what she does and comes by her profession naturally. Let Leslie Lovell take you through the interior design process for your home or office. You will instantly feel at ease with her great taste, elegance, and ability to make you feel comfortable. Leslie shops in her design studio filled with great catalogs and fabrics, as well as the wholesale to the trade markets in Las Vegas and Los Angeles. A Las Vegas resident for over 25 years. Call Leslie at 702-242-2395 or email Leslie A. Lovell, L-O-V-E-L-L, at gmail.com or visit her website, towncenterdesign.com. That's Town Center Interior Design in Las Vegas, 702-242-2395.
Okay, this is Leslie and Lovell with Home Sweet Home, and I'm back with my dad, Peter Blumetti, interviewing him today. He's been a designer for many, many, many years, and he has recently retired, but I think you retired about five times, didn't you?
Yeah, I never really retired.
We couldn't keep you home. I know, because you're not the kind of guy that'll go play golf or drive a Winnebago.
No, I don't. You know. I'm not a sports lover. I was never interested in sports.
The arts of your life.
I like to see cultural things.
Yeah, and you're an art lover.
I think nature is beautiful, but I'm not a nature lover. I love to look at it, but...
Yeah, you don't want to be bird watching.
I'll tell you a little story. About 2 months ago, I walk through Caesar's Palace every once in a while. I visit the hotels to see what I know when they get new carpeting, new drapes.
Checking on them, yeah.
I'm very observant about it. And I met this couple. And she said, "Oh, we just come back from the Grand Canyon." I said, "It was lovely." "Oh," she said, "it was beautiful." She said, "Have you ever been there?" I says, "No." She says, "Why not?" I said, "I don't like rocks."
That's you.
And she says, "You know, no." I said, "A rock is a rock." I said, "I get no inspiration. If I'm going to go someplace, I want to get inspired by, you know, things that I like. And rocks don't inspire me. Trees don't inspire me."
Right, but art and culture, of course.
Art,
too.
Yeah.
Aren't you real glad they put the Smith Center here now? Aren't you real happy about that?
Oh,
the
it's Smith beautiful,
Center? Isn't it? I love it.
We went on a tour there with the club. It was a beautiful place.
Isn't it awesome?
Place.
I know.
And all done in Art Deco.
Long time coming, right? You know, what was on CBS this morning yesterday? Sunday, I'm sorry. It was a story about the Broadway production of Porgy and Bess by Gershwin.
Really?
And I got to tell you, I was thrilled to be watching little clips of it on
call
CBS.
Me up on anything like that.
I know. I just, it was early in the morning and I think I started watching it. I know. You're up with the chickens too. But I'm telling you, Dad, it was beautiful. And of course, Audra McDonald, the famous singing star, is in the lead role, and she is lovely. I mean, she is so very talented, and that is a play that I would love to see. I hope they bring it to Las Vegas eventually and do a rendition here at the Smith Center, because what a beautiful story that is. And, you know, it started way back in the day, and it was a very controversial story. It was first introduced in the 1940s, which was before civil rights movement and everything crazy that went on in this country. So it's got quite a history in our country, but it was very interesting to watch yesterday. I keep saying yesterday was Sunday, but it was really a fun experience to watch.
What I'm enjoying now is the Queen's birthday.
Oh, yeah, the 60th Diamond Jubilee Queen.
Yeah, they're having it on every day on Channel 3.
Is it 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a program about a couple of hours one of these days or on Sunday.
Oh, really?
Or something.
We have to watch for that.
Yeah, I'd love to watch that.
Well, you know, she's been reigning for 60 years. That's a really long time.
She was getting married when I was going to design school.
Was she? Yeah. Oh, my God, you're dating yourself now.
Well.
You really are. Oh, the Queen. I don't know how she waves like this that long. My arms would be so tired.
I think she practices.
You can't see us on the radio, but you know the wave. It's backward. It's kind of weird.
Remember when you were doing the job for that English couple? She was English. They were friends of our boss.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Pat.
Pat,
she was
so
nice. She brought me some gifts from England, which I still have. They're beautiful.
She was a very sweet lady, nice customer.
I know, but, you know, that's kind of a great culture, though. You know, I always feel connected to England, I guess because we speak the same language, but I really do like the culture. I mean, everything I've read about it and,
I was in Europe,
design.
We went to England. We only went for a day.
Right.
Because that's the way it was. We went through they called it the Channel, from Belgium to England.
Oh, did
it was
you?
Only it only took 35 minutes.
Wow.
And it's very fascinating because it was a great big building, and you have to wait till you're called. You go in, and they open the doors and the windows on the bus, and we're riding. And I said to Ray, "Oh, when are we going to ride?" She said, "We've been riding for 10 minutes, and in 35 minutes, we
You
were
didn't
in
even
England.
Know you were moving?
Huh? No, you didn't
oh
feel
my gosh,
a thing.
That is so
it
weird.
It was terrific.
Is it like a subway kind of thing?
No, it's a gigantic room. And they got maybe one vehicle goes at a time.
Wow.
And we got there and, oh my God, I was amazed. And we went to Buckingham Palace, but there was no parade or nothing, no changing of the guards. And we saw like Piccadilly Circus and Madame Tussauds, and we went to Westminster Abbey. And
interesting.
Stuff, but it was fascinating.
I'd like to, you know, one day I'd like to go and see some of these beautiful castles that they talk about.
Yeah.
You know, they're just so absolutely beautiful. One trip I really enjoyed was when we went to the Antebellum area in Charleston and Beaufort, South Carolina.
We never got there, Leslie.
Oh, it's too bad, because I'll tell you what, some of those mansions were gorgeous. But the thing that saddened me was that they showed us the slave quarters on some of them, and because those days are long past. But honestly, I welled up because it was so very sad. The drastic difference between the mansion and the quarters was so unbelievable.
What about the mansion in Maryland?
Yeah, and that mansion we did in Maryland, the governor's mansion.
I know. Something.
Well, they had a slave kitchen in that mansion, which was amazing. A slave kitchen. In that mansion,
yeah, the slaves
with
there.
The buzzer in the dining
room.
Yeah,
they had the slave block where they
the slave block. So it was really, kind of interesting history in our country, but we're so far past that now. It seems like ancient history to us in our generation, mm-hmm. But when you go to the Deep South, you really do see a lot of that.
2 years ago when I went, Bob and Mary took me, and we went to
Oh, you went to Jacksonville. Not Jacksonville. St. Petersburg and... wasn't it?
Not Petersburg. What's the... St. Augustine.
Oh, St. Augustine. That's right. I forgot. Yeah.
And we went there, and then we went to
I know you went to Charleston.
Went to Savannah.
Yeah, Savannah's gorgeous.
We saw some beautiful things.
That's the fun of interior design, though. When you travel as a designer, you see things that other people don't see. I mean, we honestly don't miss a trick.
I don't see everything.
And that's
everything.
Really, really good. So for young people out there studying interior design, or anyone studying interior design and loving interior design, what would you say was the best part of your job, the part of your job that you love the most?
Well, the part that I love everything about it, but the thing is, walking into a house, let's say absolutely empty, and you go around, you look, and you put it all together, mm-hmm. and when you get it done, it looks gorgeous.
Like
and
a magazine.
Most of all, we are there to please the customer. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are afraid that the house is going to look like the decorator, mm-hmm. but I always caution. I showed pictures of my house once, and the girl said to me, I don't like your house. I says, I don't decorate this way. I said, this is my taste.
Your taste for your house.
So
right.
I never showed people my house until after I was done decorating. And they said, this is beautiful. A lot of them loved it, they copied it and so forth.
But everyone's taste is so different.
Exactly.
And that's what makes the world go round.
You have to remember when you're a designer, you talk to your customer about a half an hour, mm-hmm. and in that half an hour, you get to know what they like, you can almost go out and wear their clothes.
I know. You're right. You really
can almost go out and buy their clothes for them.
Yeah, you can.
Because you know their taste. And when I had clients, when I had the shop in Jersey, and I used to bring my clients to New York, one lady said to me, I want early American. I said, okay. So I went, and I usually pick out the stuff before, and I showed her what I wanted, and it was... wasn't early America, it was a French country. So we got all done. She gave me the order, and very nice order. And I says, are you happy? She says, but I didn't pick out any early American. I says, you want to go back? Oh, no.
Thank God.
It's beautiful.
She didn't pick out any early
American. I'm very happy with
that. That wasn't the best look.
No.
I mean, gosh, that's long
but
gone.
But at that time, early America was reigning supreme.
I know. Ethan Allen was pretty famous
Barbara,
for it. Yeah. That was
popular.
The look. But, now we're so far past that.
Oh, yeah.
We're so done with it.
It's strictly now what they're doing is coming with is... Everything's contemporary.
Yeah, modern. But you know what, though, Dad? We've seen it go in waves, right? I mean, for a while it'll be this, and then a while it'll be something else. And I think that's the way fashion is also.
Yes.
I think interior design pretty much follows the fashion curve.
It does.
The only thing with interior design that's different is that it's way more expensive to decorate your house than it is to buy a shirt or a pair of pants.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it. If you buy a sofa and a chair, you got to live with that for a while.
Yeah.
So what I always tell our clients, is please love it, because if this is something you have to live with for a while, love the fabric, love the style. Don't just pick anything to pick it. Just make sure you really like what you're picking.
You can tell a good designer when you buy stuff for people. A good design should last between 10 and 15 years.
Oh, absolutely. The look, absolutely. And classics.
Then when you get good stuff,
right.
You have chairs reupholstered, sofas reupholstered.
The base of it is
some
good.
Things you have redone, refinished. What you don't like, you get rid of.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
When you hear people saying, "Oh, I change every 2 years,"
it's because
they're not happy with what they have, and therefore they're always changing because they don't complete the room.
Right, like a professional does.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of reminds me of a blazer that a man would buy, like a beautiful navy blue blazer that's double breasted.
Mm-hmm.
you can wear that blazer as long as it will stay alive.
Exactly.
I mean, you can wear from year to year to year to year with every color shirt and every color pants except black and brown, you know, mm-hmm. but you could wear gray pants and blue pants. And I mean, you could go crazy with that navy blue blazer and use it over and over and over yeah. again because it's a classic look that will right. never, ever go away.
Right.
So that's how I feel about furnishings, too. I think
it's like the Lawson yeah. couch that'll never
yeah,
go out of style.
Yeah, the Lawson sofa. That's right. Yeah. Very simple lines, very
simple lines.
Clean.
It
yes.
all depends on the cover that you put on it.
Right.
And you could change the look of it. Immediately.
Always, all
it
the time.
It can go contemporary, it can go traditional.
That's right.
It can go
slipcover it.
French.
Yeah, you could do a million things. Isn't that great, though, about our business? I mean, it's so versatile. And but really, I really love my job like you do because I love walking into a blank room and turning it into something fabulous. Even if the room is so square, has no architectural features, yeah. we add them.
Well, we add the architectural.
And we make it look like a million
value
bucks.
To it.
That's
but
right.
the thing is, I don't like to do a house through with blueprints.
Right.
I like to be hands-on.
Well, I like to be physically in it if I can
yes,
because I like to get the feel of the house. Mm-hmm. I love that. You know, the blueprints are harder to work with.
Hard and,
well, it's cold. It's cold.
Although we drew them in design school and
yeah.
make them and so forth. But I never enjoyed that part of it.
Me either.
To me, it was boring.
I love being in the space because I love to feel the height of the ceilings and see where mm-hmm. the windows are. And, you know, it's just beautiful. But anyway, Dad, I want to say thank you to you so much for coming in. And
oh,
I hope we'll
My
have
pleasure.
Maybe we'll talk about some current events down the road on
well,
another time. But
whenever you want.
Oh,
there.
Good. Thanks so
my
much.
My time
for,
is my own.
Thank you. Thanks so much. And hopefully we'll be back doing this again. So this is
Love
Leslie
to.
Level with Peter Blumeni signing out at the moment. We'll be back with Home Sweet Home, KLAV Talk Radio. Talk to you in a few minutes. Hi, we're back. And I hope you enjoyed that interview with my dad. He's quite a character. I guess doing something 62 years, you don't have to practice anymore. So we always say, we're not practicing. This is for real. Anyway, I'm going to take a couple of questions from Andrea that people wrote in with emails. So I think that's how we're going to wrap up today. So did you have a question or two for me, Andrea?
Well, one question that a listener sent in was, should I order shutters for my new home or do something else? Are shutters still in style?
And that's a good one because we've seen a shutter explosion in Las Vegas. I mean, almost everywhere you go, there are shutters, shutters, and more shutters. And I will tell you that they are probably the least crazy way to think about doing your windows. It's so easy. It's ridiculous. I mean, you just call the shutter people. They come out, they measure, and they put them in, and you don't ever have to think about your windows again. On the other hand, they don't absorb sound very well, so it's kind of like having a piece of furniture on your wall. So when you have a whole house full of shutters, I just don't feel like it has any character. I guess I've been doing this job so long that I like to see some softness on the window once in a while, and the softness is so pretty. Fabrics in our business right now are just so beautiful. There's shears out there that not as you used to know shears, you know, like it would be a see-through material that was real flimsy. And now shears are printed in contemporary prints and there are beautiful linens out there and absolutely beautiful fabrics that you would be shocked at. I do work with a couple of wholesale to the trade showrooms that sell fabric. One is in the World Market and there's a couple of others in town that are just phenomenal. So if you'd like to go to one of those places, you got to give me a call and or email me. My phone number is 702-242-2395 or lesliealevel@gmail.com. Okay, got one more and then we'll wrap it up.
Leslie, this is one that stumps a lot of people because they're very intimidated by it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you pick art for your home? Mm. I'm always afraid to buy something thinking that it won't work with my decor.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, if you buy something really funky and very modern and contemporary and you have, you know, French furniture, it kind of is hard to mix unless you do the right kind of frame. So I would say when you're picking art, please be careful and try to go with a professional. Let them see your home first. And if it's something you absolutely must have, go buy it. But you know, be careful with that. It can really not work with something you have. And a lot of people do Western art with Asian furniture. And I got to tell you, it looks kind of weird. So be careful what you select, because you can love Western art, but you really can't put it with lacquered Asian pieces. It just doesn't cut it. Anyway, we're going to sign off and listen to a little of our theme song today, written by Linda Piana, our composer and also our piano instructor. And she's a lovely gal, and she's going to be coming back on the show to work with us again. And I want to thank Andrea Chestnut for coming in today as our landscape and gardening expert and great cook as well. This is Leslie Lovell and Andrea Chestnut signing off for Home Sweet Home, KLAB Talk Radio. Have a great week.
Sweet home, nothing better than home sweet home. Can't wait to get home sweet home.